flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After extensive consideration, conversations with her in my office, attending the hearing, questioning her there, and listening to her in the closed session, I decided to vote that I will vote for her. I believe she's committed to strengthening our national security.
Senator Susan Collins talking about her yes vote for Tulsi Gabbard. And Fox News reports that Tulsi Gabbard has passed a key committee hurdle on Tuesday. That's today. And her nomination will now head to the Senate floor, where she will get a final confirmation vote. President Trump has tapped Gabbard, a former Democratic congresswoman, to be director of national intelligence in the second term. I'm pleased that the Senate Intelligence Committee voted to advance the nomination of Tulsi Gabbard to be the Director of National Intelligence. Once confirmed, I look forward to working with Ms. Gabbard to keep America safe and to bring badly needed reforms to the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. This from Senate Select Committee on Intelligence Chairman Senator Tom Cotton. What's the first thing you do if you're Tulsi Gabbard and you get confirmed?
Man, I have no idea what that position entails, other than that there's been a lot of corruption in those agencies. So how do you go about getting the corruption out? Is it individuals that you have to target to get rid of them? Is it a whole philosophy change? I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I like these people in theory, but I hope that they know administratively what they're getting into, because I don't.
I think one of the things you look at is, how do I change this from, like, once you're out, you can't keep profiting off of your security clearances, that sort of thing. People like Brennan and Clapper shouldn't be able to go on CNN and say, oh, well, with my security clearance, I know this, 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 and this. Once you're not doing it anymore, I think your security clearance should be revoked. So one of the things I would look at doing is just making it a policy that once you're out of the agency, whatever agency it is you're working for, that your top secret, whatever security clearance, once you don't need that anymore, it's revoked. You can go apply for a new one when you go into a new position within the government or whatever. But I would revoke that, and hopefully that would help discourage people from using that as a way to springboard into something that isn't national security related.
The FBI's intelligence activities are overseen by the Director of National Intelligence. The National Intelligence Office oversees coordination of relationships with the intelligence or security services of foreign governments and international organizations. If someone said, Ryan, I'm gonna show it all to you. You're gonna go behind the curtain and you're gonna get to learn all of these things, like whatever Tulsi Gabbard's potentially likely about to get access to. Are you doing it?
Yeah, I would do it. There are not a whole lot of people that I trust to not be corrupted, and I know myself well enough to think that I could do it. I don't know enough about the organization to think I could go in and like be a great administrator, but I know that I would trust myself enough to think I could go in and not be corrupted by the system that it was.
I'm not asking you to do the job. I'm just asking if you want to know the stuff.
Oh yeah, I do. I would like to know it.
All or nothing.
All. Let's go for it. If I knew it, then I knew that something could be done about it. And that's what concerns me.
That's not necessarily true. You could know it and then know that nothing could be done about it.
Well, I would die knowing that I tried to do everything I could. And I would be okay with that.
Would you want to know?
If it's an all or nothing, I think I'm going to say, yeah, I would want to know, because I'd rather, know what I need to know, even if it includes the stuff that I don't really want to know, than not knowing any of it.
What if it's like some Matrix kind of a situation where you have no, like, I don't, what do we know? I mean, if nothing that we really understand, that the comfy, casual flow of life that you live under the protection of what those people do know and how they protect us from the things we don't even realize exist, foreign and domestic. Would you be willing to sacrifice? I mean, because obviously if you could do something about it to stop it, or what I think is more likely is the amount of threats that we're under, or the amount of people who want to cause harm here, I bet it's just infinite. Like when we see, for instance, a New Orleans New Year's Day attack, or New Year's Eve or whatever it technically was, when you see something like that happen and that one got through, how many are we stopping at any given point? Really, early on, someone is Googling something and they're stupid and they're sloppy and so they get caught and they get put away. But if they get through, or if they're a little smarter than the average bear, something bad ends up happening. Would you want to know I certainly wouldn't want to know anything about it if I couldn't do anything about it. I would rather live in a way that I could live what we consider to be a normal life with my family. I mean, I'm a worrier as it is. I just feel like if you were to have access to all of that information and not be able to do anything about it, and I would assume that there's a lot of the stuff that they are doing, you go to work and you do the best you can and you hope and pray it's enough. There'd be a lot of pressure to know that stuff.
Absolutely. But there is always something you could do, even if it was like, oh my gosh, this is so deeply entrenched that nobody will ever change this. If you're the, I'm assuming you're saying you would be the director of national intelligence, not just that you get access to it, but you
my
would be
my question to you is just that you could
just
know.
That you get access to it.
If you could look and you could know, it's not about affecting change. It's about just, would you want to know everything there is to know if you could?
That's a tougher question, because
that was the question.
That's why it's a good one.
Thank you.
Because you could then go to the press or whatever and say, look at everything that I know now.
Don't you think that that would be potentially catastrophic?
Yeah,
absolutely. Like a lot of this stuff, I don't think that the public knowing it really makes anything any better.
Well, yeah, it depends on what it is.
It caused panic. A lot of people are talking in the chat about the drones. You know, Caroline Leavitt came out and she's like, the drones were approved to fly by the FAA. Are we all like, oh, okay, I'm not.
No, that didn't answer that question.
She said that they were approved. But whose drones were
for
they?
What?
And what were they flying there for? Like, I still have questions and I want to know the answers, and I would like to know the answers. They did address the fact that it wasn't some foreign adversary that was, through some sort of evil intent flying over our country. But if they're government, American government contractors or government contractors or whatever that are aware of a threat, and they were sweeping Jersey for some kind of material and practicing there for whatever particular reason, why did you feel you needed to do that so publicly? Are we being desensitized to seeing drones in the sky? Like, just have a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I want answers. I want to trust the people who have answers, but I don't know if that's going to happen either.
That came at the beginning of her first press conference that Caroline Leavitt said that.
She did her press conference, and then right before she went to take questions, she's like, oh, one word of note from the president.
Yeah.
We knew about the drones. Yeah. The government did.
Right. And then let's go on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, wait a minute. But you had so many other questions because it was her first press conference. It was like nobody ever brought it back up.
So if you just could know, would you want to know? You can't. I mean, you just get to look. You get the like the infinite access to all the information on your computer. You're allowed to look at it. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, I want to know. I'm too curious to say no.
You guys both. That's a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
It's a burden,
especially if it ends up being the Matrix. That you're like, oh, this is all a simulation. Oh man,
what's the likelihood it is?
I'd say 100%.
Okay.
We're living in a situation.
the physics that you
the simulation.
You people talking about theoretical physics, they're like, the chances that we're not living in some sort of higher beings world are very low. Because the probability of that happening is higher than if it weren't happening.
What would you do with all that information, Brad?
Well, I would prepare myself and my family.
For what? You gonna
whatever
fight
I
back
learned.
Against the nuclear attack from Iran?
Or maybe move to an area where Iran is less likely to strike. I mean, you're going to have the access to what they plan to do, and you'll probably have best targets. And so you go, well, you know, in this area is not one of the best targets. It's low likelihood of being attacked, and so I would maybe move there.
But that's the point. Like, you would change your entire life around some information that you read that was possible that could happen, which I assume, because I don't know, and I'm not 100%, like, for sure, like, your initial response to the question is what you would do about it. I'm talking about just getting to know the stuff. If I couldn't do anything about it, I wouldn't want to relocate my entire life waiting for my old hometown to go up in flames.
You could tell everybody, though. This radio station, this show reaches so far that you could tell everybody in the whole world.
Would that be what's best, though?
Again, it depends on what it is.
If it's something crazy like that, is telling the public that you read something that could possibly happen, does that benefit? Who does that benefit?
If it's if it's corruption that's hiding things.
Not corruption, threats.
But that's the other thing, too.
But you'd know everything, so it could be anything.
What?
But like, if you know that
you only know what is there.
Yeah,
you would know what plans that our agencies, our defenders have in place to thwart whatever plan it is. And if you go out on the radio station and be like, "Hey, we know about what you're trying to do," that's like tipping a ball right before somebody tries to catch it. You change everything, and you might make it worse for the agencies that have a plan in place to stop whatever it is that's about to happen.
Okay. Scenario is, you find out, the biggest thing you find out from doing this is you find out that time travel is real.
Mm-hmm.
Do you tell people that?
What's the consequence of time travel?
Well, if it's time travel to the past, then you could alter the present.
You could disappear.
No, you can't. Have you ever seen Back to the Future?
I guess it depends on the rules
and
of the movie you're watching.
Endgame, where they go back to the Back to the Future model and say, is that right?
Because you can't go back and fix what you broke when
it's
you broke it.
Science. What would have to happen for someone to prove to you that time travel was real?
I would have to show up.
Like,
and
what
tell
if I just
me.
Said to you, I'm from the past?
I would not believe you. I really wouldn't.
Maybe I'd be really good at my job.
But if I told me that, I would be like, all right, you got my attention.
Yeah, you should definitely get to know all the codes. And then,
if you were from the past, wouldn't you remember going forward to talk to yourself?
No, you don't get it.
Not if you're from the past, because that would have been in your future.
I have no clue.
If you go to the future from the past, but you're from the past... How would your past self know that you in the future were going to go to the future successfully?
No, future you would know, because future you would remember doing it.
Not if future you was from the timeline of past you that was still in the past.
The scenario that I'm presenting is future you comes back and tells you, here's what you need to do.
So future, you're meeting someone from the future.
Yes.
Now.
It's yourself.
In the past.
No, in the present. It is you now.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up in the morning.
When is now?
You go to take a shower and you open the door and you're already in the shower. And you're like, hey, wait a minute. That's me. And you're like, yeah, I know. I just wanted to shower because in the future we don't have showers. And you're like, oh my gosh.
Great that this happens in the shower.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to think of a private moment where it's just you and you. You know, that would be somewhere in the bathroom in my mind.
Then what?
Well, then after the shower, you get out, you dry your hair, and you're like, all right, I got some things I need to tell you about. One of them is about the time travel that you're about to experience in however many days. Then, to answer your question,
so future,
then I would believe
so
me.
Future me is from the past?
No, future you is just the future version of you.
Yeah, but you said that the future me is from the time travel that's going to happen in a few days. So that would mean future me is actually from the past. But the current future makes sense to me.
What? No, I'm not just like, oh, my head's spinning. I don't actually think any of that makes sense.
If future me
yes.
comes back.
In 10 years.
Shush, no, you listen.
Okay.
If future me comes back.
Yes.
To tell me that in a few days I'm going to time travel, which is what you just said.
Yeah.
Then future me would actually be from the past because they time traveled.
No. No, it's still not true. I'm drawing the diagram in my head. And yeah. It still doesn't make sense.
Okay.
No. No. Now, and look, we have a whiteboard right here. If you want to draw that and explain it, because I are you following her?
No.
Okay, good.
I want to see it.
I'm glad to hear that. Because everybody who's in their car
but
right
now. But I trust
now,
her, and I think it could make sense.
Is
I'm
wanting to see the drawing.
That's just like
they don't
one of the options
it.
On the YouTube poll for today.
They don't believe it.
I don't get tariffs, but I trust them. And that's the analogy that we wanted to present to you today. We did start this hour at about 2:05, and I was like, guys, I got nothing to talk about. And that's a true story from the past. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk. You're wondering, why does Annie all of a sudden sound like a man? It's Ethan. And currently, Annie is a little bit distracted. There has been an intense argument in studio during this latest commercial break between Mr. Wiggins and Annie Fry. And right now, this is going to get a little bit tricky because if you're just listening, if you're on the YouTube stream, you're going to be able to see the graphic that Annie drew on our whiteboard in studio, trying to explain a little bit of the argument that they had from the previous segment where they were talking about time travel. Is it the future? Is it the past? I kind of missed some of that part.
Can you
but
go till 3 o'clock and just it's like a long
see,
rain
I'm
delay.
Doing the math here. No.
Recap
I can't
every
do that.
Segment so far.
Every yeah.
Like
segment.
Do that one, then do the one before it.
You guys know that I work for 2 shows, right?
Yeah. I've heard.
You know that we're not concerned with that, though, right?
Fair enough.
Yeah, okay.
I was just explaining why I wasn't going to be able to do what you asked, Ryan Wiggins.
Ah, okay.
I could discuss Wiggins America if we wanted to go back to that.
Should we keep it? Here's the big question of this segment. Do we keep it focused on retelling things we did only about time travel, or can we retell anything from the show?
But here's the question.
Ooh.
If we go back to telling it about time travel, are we living the example that Annie was explaining on that whiteboard? We are both future and past ourselves.
Ooh. I think we should talk about speedy commercial airline travel.
Brad does too.
Holy.
I've got an article.
Holy desperation.
I'm just happy that I proved my point.
You didn't, though. You
I didn't. Understand her point now, and I didn't before. So,
well, I'm
I,
completely lost.
I think it depends on if you're talking about whose perspective. Are you talking about the future you's perspective going backwards?
Right.
Or are you talking about current you?
I understand that.
Yeah.
And understanding that, now I understand her point.
I think I understand it. Do I? And talk about whose perspective it is.
We should
is that
talk
fair?
About the commercial airline flight.
Okay.
Good fine. Stick people drawings, though.
Thank you. I even used color.
Yeah, you know, it got really detailed when the line switched from purple to a different color just to show that it was now the future version of whoever that's supposed to be. Ryan? Is that Ryan?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah,
it says
tell?
My name.
He's
well,
just felt
no,
and
there's
bald.
No, there's no, there's no punch.
But I'm also very thin.
That's so good. Brad!
All right, I'm in. All right, did you guys pay attention last week? This kind of slipped underneath the radar because we were covering...
The radar?
Yeah, I get it.
Nice.
Yeah, let me do radio things, guys. So, this slipped under the radar because we were covering...
radar.
We were covering Tulsi Gabbard
yeah,
and RFK's hearings. We were looking at a lot of that stuff. But what was happening simultaneous to that was Boom Supersonic was testing out their new commercial supersonic jet plane. And they were trying to break the sound barrier for the first time. So they actually were able to do that. It broke the sound barrier for the first time ever, ushering in a new era of supersonic flight.
That was not the first time ever.
Yeah, for them.
For a commercial jet.
For that company.
We gotta go into the past.
They've tested a bunch. They've got, you know,
I guess
they
it depends
their way
on who's which company's perspective you're
right,
looking at.
Right, right.
Will!
Sharp Will Sharp's on TV.
But they were working their way up to that, and so they finally broke the sound barrier. And their plan is to take this XB-1 and sell it to airlines and basically revive. Do you guys remember the Concorde? How you could fly from New York to London or New York to Paris in like
I do not remember
3
it.
Hours?
I don't recall it. I remember the bird.
You were on the initial flight.
Right.
I remember the grape.
I was...
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know what a group of Concordes is called? A murder.
Bunch.
It's a murder of Concordes. Jeez.
Annie's enjoying this because Brad's leading the segment.
Yeah, I'm leading the segment.
Go ahead.
Poorly. But I've always been a big aviation nerd, and I've never understood why they retired the Concorde, because you could make it from New York to London in like 3 hours, which is fantastic. But
when they retired the Concorde, we were all upset.
No. We weren't, because you don't remember it, and you told me that. But I was like, I was a little kid, I was watching, it's like, yeah, you get on jet, you can fly really fast, that's super cool. But now as I get older, I'm like, why don't we revise this? Because technology has improved since then. We have things like what they call super cruise, which is the ability to cruise at supersonic speeds without using afterburners. They've developed all that in the military, and that same sort of technology can apply to engines that you would use in a commercial sense. The big problem with supersonic commercial travel has always been the sonic booms over... populated areas, start breaking windows, that sort of thing. You can't really do that. But they were saying
breaking
that...
windows.
I know, I heard the same thing, breaking windows.
Yeah, they were saying that this thing could fly at like Mach 1.7, which is almost twice the speed of sound, and they could make the pass current plane, it could be 2 times faster than any current planes over water and 20% quicker over land because of that. And American Airlines, United Airlines, and Japan Airlines have already signed deals to do this. Would you guys fly supersonic travel? Do you see this as like the next step?
Mm-mm. I'm only a Southwest girl.
I would. Would you do it if Southwest did it?
Probably.
if Southwest
do
introduced,
I get extra points?
Yeah, you do.
Can I take my companion?
Supersonic travel from St. Louis to Orlando, would you take that flight as opposed to the standard flight?
How long would that flight be?
No, I don't want to be in the exploratory process.
Would it be like a half an hour flight?
How good are you at math? Because it's 20% faster over land, and that flight's over land. And
it's
you
two
Ryan's
hours.
Not answering that.
It's 2 hours, 60 minutes, 12 more minutes.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So to answer your question, your initial question, I'm good at math.
You're good at math. Yeah. Thank you, Annie, for solving that for Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
6, 12, 24 minutes.
So it would save you 24 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really not that big of a deal.
Are you having to pay more
for
this?
Not on a short flight. Probably.
So this is only for international flights is when it would matter.
It would
What about from here to Chicago?
Yeah, or here to Canada. That's international, as I've learned.
4 minutes.
This is a big show for you.
This has been a great... You know what? This has also been a really good show. It's very focused. Time's flying.
How long was your flight to Japan?
13, 14 hours.
So if you could fly supersonic and knock that time in half, would you do it?
Heck yes, I would do it. But you said 20%.
What if you could die?
No, that's 20% over land. But when you fly to Japan, it's overseas, so you can fly twice as fast.
Ooh.
Ooh.
So, like, to me, the real value in this is over international flights over water, where you can go over long distances, something that would take a long time. A flight to Hawaii gets knocked way down. A flight to Japan to Tokyo takes a lot less. Again, that old New York to London thing.
Scooter says, why not just improve our rail network? More practical than supersonic travel.
You can't fly that. You can't go that fast on a rail. Also, are we going to build a rail to Japan?
Joe Biden wanted to.
Joe Biden did want to build a lot more rail.
He did. I'm just quoting.
Hey, look.
Just quoting the man.
Politics aside.
What?
I do think it would be cool to get in one of those. And the way that I've seen them is they're like little balls that you sit down in. Oh, gosh. Why did I even start? This is going nowhere. That you sit down in these balls, and then...
How old are you?
They go so fast. They go
Say
like
spheres.
400...
Say spheres.
I can't.
Why?
It has
is it
silent...
the SPH?
Yeah, it's the
SPH. It's difficult to challenge, so you prefer balls, but uh-huh. You can't get through that either?
No, I can't, because of the silent L, one of them.
3D circles.
So you get in this little 3D circle.
Balls.
And, man, these things are flying.
Yeah.
These balls are flying everywhere. And they move at 400 miles an hour. I think it would be cool to be able to go from St. Louis to Kansas City, which was proposed at
would
some point.
Would you put a bumper sticker on?
Oh,
you
no.
Put it, no, not on one of them. You put a bumper sticker on the outside of all of them. It says, watch out for D's balls. Because they move fast. Mm-hmm. It's a longer bumper sticker, but I would say still worth it. Anyway, politics aside, mm-hmm. I think it would be really cool.
Politics aside. How about
fast...
politics back in the conversation?
No, I want to live in a future where there really are no political parties. Everybody gets along
You're
somehow.
A communist.
I'm not communist. I don't want to share the wealth.
That's what a communist would say.
I just want to see the kind of future that was painted in the 1960s, and that where like hover cars are flying everywhere.
Everything's
and,
red.
Everything is happy too. For whatever reason, we've learned to love finally, and. Everything's flying, and I want to see those little balls just scooting between cities like crazy. And I want to get in one, and I want to show up in Kansas City in like an hour. That would be awesome. Then you could commute all over the Midwest. You could live in beautiful downtown St. Louis and work anywhere else you wanted.
Brad?
I was happy about a supersonic flight.
What about the balls?
But now we're talking about
What about the fast balls?
Ryan's fantasies about balls.
Balls were being discussed. And then Ryan was able to keep it together.
Is
so
there
we
an age where you men grow out of this? Does that happen? I don't know.
It's past 43.
Yeah. Not that we know of yet.
So let us know if you've grown out of it.
Is it always funny?
I think it's how you approach it. You know,
depends on who
if you're
with.
In a business meeting, super funny.
If somebody, I was gonna say, if somebody says that in a meeting here, you're not back there going...
No. Yeah.
The more inappropriate it is to laugh, the funnier it is.
If you're at a funeral, super funny. Again, I'm trying to find a scenario where it's not funny. So far,
I thought you were going to say not funny.
No.
For both of them.
I'm just imagining trying to be with my girlfriends and someone is talking about like decorating, and maybe there are some ornaments that you're going to hang up. And so I was like, I think we could put some of the balls over here, and we're all like. Balls. And then we don't get any work done.
You don't keep doing anything? You just stop and laugh and then
that's
go
what
home?
What you guys did? You just wrecked the whole conversation.
Now that's a good scenario. Brad brought
good content to the show and you turned it into
that's
this.
That's debatable. If it's a guy in the midst of a whole bunch of women in like a professional setting and somebody says balls, super funny.
Unfortunately, you have not given a scenario yet that doesn't result in super funny.
I get halfway through it and I'm like, doggone it, that's also funny. Like, okay, you're in court.
Oh, no.
Okay? You're in court. And the charges are serious and maybe sexual in nature. Actually, still kind of funny.
Ethan brought us into this segment. Why don't you own it and take us out? Because I am not associated with your debauchery. Get yourself together.
See? Okay, for instance, you're on a radio show in the afternoon talking about balls. Still funny. Ethan, take us out.
He's young and impressionable. No, not
he's
him.
He's just laughing.
You.
He keeps laughing.
You're supposed to pretend that at a certain age, you become above a certain amount of things. And telling him there's no hope for his future.
I told him until he gets to 43, there's no hope. After that, I don't know.
We need to go
I've
break.
Never time traveled. I don't know what the future holds. Maybe tomorrow I'm like,
so
balls
sure
aren't funny anymore.
Had you time traveled, I don't think you'd really understand that you'd done it.
If I walk in tomorrow and I'm wearing a suit and I'm like, oh boy, my monocle fell off. I don't think balls are
funny.
I wouldn't
think anything of it.
You wouldn't at all, even though my monocle fell off and it's super sad because I can't find it?
I'd step on it.
She stepped on my monocle. These balls aren't funny anymore.
Okay, Bane. Come on.
I want to travel in a sphere.
Oh, we got to do another whole segment.
We got to do another one of these?
Reardon, get your butt in here. I got nothing left. Actually, I'm afraid of what we do have left. Go. Do it. Do the thing.
What?
Take us out.
Ethan.
No, you can't point to him. I pointed to you.
This is the Annie Fry Show. This is the Annie Fry Show. Very dignified.
This is the Annie Fry Show. The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe.
You sound just like her.
Did you even know I was singing right there?
Wasn't this the Rock Moth?
No. This is Lauren Daigle.
Doesn't Rock Mouth have a cover of it, though?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was really Rock Mouth.
No.
It's Lauren Daigle.
Yeah.
I get them confused all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people do. Those in the industry can pick out Rock Mouth like that. And they sometimes get confused. I get it. Some people do get confused with me and Lauren Daigle, though. Who's going to blink first?
Brad.
Brad.
Hey, what's going on with Blake Lively?
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you asked.
I do want to. Do you know anything about it?
Very little.
Do you know anything about
it? I know
a
little bit about it, yeah.
And Ryan?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you know everything about
it. Ryan Reynolds.
So, before we discuss anything, I know nothing other than lawsuits, Ryan Reynolds, Blake Lively, some Justin Baldoni.
Mm-hmm.
It Ends With Us is a movie that they were in,
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
It just went south. It seems like you're either Blake Lively, Team Blake Lively / Ryan Reynolds, or Team Baldoni. Without going further into details yet, Ethan, do you have an obvious side that you're on?
I don't know enough about it. I've seen it in headlines on TMZ a lot over here, and then you'll see it pop up on social media, but I haven't dove into it very much. But from what I've seen, this is more serious than originally thought, so maybe that will make me look into it more.
Do you have a hunch of who's the bad guy, Brad?
I have no idea. I know the accusations, I know the responses to the accusations, I know the counter accusations, and when I look at Hollywood individuals and they go out there, one of the things that I realize about both or all parties involved is they're actors, and that means that they're good at drama. They're good at telling their story. They're good at telling their story in a convincing way. And I don't know who's telling the truth, and I don't know who's lying. And I think what probably is actually the truth is they're both liable.
Ryan, who's the bad guy?
To me, everybody is a loser here in a sense, because this movie is boring. And what they've done to Colleen Hoover's novel, I mean... Really?
How much of Wikipedia are you going to read over there?
Well, I can't say, but I will tell you that mm-hmm. for me,
You said you knew something about this.
Yeah.
Did you know how to Google it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I tell you right now that Baldoni's $400 million defamation and extortion case.
What's that?
Targets libel. And her husband, Ryan Reynolds.
You got to quote
and
this.
Publicist
if you're
Leslie
this,
Sloan.
You have to tell us where you're reading it from.
I'm not reading anything.
You have to.
I'm reciting this from memory because I like it that much.
From
the
what
story.
Source did you memorize it from?
Newsweek.
And the author? Before we get in trouble? He's looking for it.
Scanning.
Newsweek.
Sean O'Driscoll.
Uh-huh, naturally. See, now Sean can't get mad at us.
Right.
Do you have opinions going into your research here about who's the bad guy and who's not?
No, I really don't.
I have a hunch.
Ooh, I want to know.
I think Blake Lively's the bad guy.
Why?
Yeah.
Because I think power corrupts. I think Ryan Reynolds is about as A-list top of the line as you can get in Hollywood right now. And the idea that these PR firms just can... They can force you into a position where they can smear you to the point where you won't... fight back because it would cost you too much to defend yourself so that you settle or you give in or whatever it is. That's what it seems like it is. I'm leery to think that anyone's really the good guy here, which maybe is what you were initially saying. But what it sounds like is Baldoni is being accused, was being accused from Blake Lively initially to engage in sexually harassing behavior, making her feel uncomfortable. I've heard or read that Blake Lively wanted like script edits and wasn't getting her way in everything potentially. I don't know all the specific details, but that the main accusation that came out was that Baldoni was inappropriate towards and around Blake Lively. But it seems as though there were communications with PR firms surrounding the situation that we're basically threatening Baldoni with, you're going to do what we want or we're going to ruin you. And I hate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first time I saw this reported, I just assumed, although it's gotten past this now, I just assumed this was a PR story. Because when you create drama
it
between...
It could all be a PR stunt.
I mean, but at this point... You're going to the point where if you even watch this movie, you're thinking about the animosity between them instead of watching the characters. So you almost are ruining it if you're going this far
was
for PR.
Was the movie in the theaters or was it a streaming movie?
I think it was in theaters.
Was it a successful movie?
I don't know. Is it still in theaters?
No.
This I do not know.
This is just a segment of us asking questions.
Well, let me read this. So before I was reciting it from memory from Newsweek, this I'm going to read directly from Newsweek. Baldoni claims that on April 25th, 2023, he was summoned by Lively to her penthouse and greeted by Reynolds, who swore at Baldoni and accused him of fat-shaming his wife with the words, "How dare you blanking ask about my wife's weight? What's wrong with you?" According to court documents, Lively told her husband, Ryan Reynolds, that Baldoni had asked about her weight before a film scene in which Baldoni had to physically lift her. That seems like a natural question you might want to ask. Like, can I do this?
There's gray area there. But still, like, it's not like she's
going to
say,
lawsuit,
I'm 140 pounds. He's like, I'm going to need you to get to 135. That's not happening. So I
can't bench that. I can squat that. That might be a real conversation that might have happened, I'm saying.
But nobody in here has any strong feelings about this. Apparently the judge muzzled both of them, which is probably better for everybody. Yeah.
No. In fact, I'm waiting for there to be something that comes. I think actually what's come out is Baldoni's side is coming out more now because Blake Lively Blake Lively has the power of persona. Many more people know who she is, Ryan Reynolds, than Justin Baldoni. But now with him coming out and giving the text messages, because he's releasing a bunch of their communications. And nothing really has come out that looks inappropriate. And as everybody asking, well, then are all of her claims unsubstantiated? Which doesn't mean they're not true. It just means you can't really back them up. If all of their text exchanges are fine, it's going to be tough to prove. Yeah. And it does make Baldoni look better.
Do you think that Ryan Reynolds' behavior is rational? Like, if I, like, on that story you just told there where he confronted Baldoni, you know, is that the rational behavior of a husband who whose wife comes home and tells him, hey, this dude just called me fat? And
not in a world where a feminist would take care of herself. No, that's psychotic.
It also depends on if that's all that was communicated during that time. I'm reading stuff on the BBC about him being really perverted, saying some weird comments about her and involving sexual harassment and, you know, seeing her in previous scenes and stuff and talking about some really inappropriate stuff. So if it involves that...
That's different than talking about your weight.
That's a very different story.
But also, it's like, I don't know, if you're trying to make it so that somebody stops sexually harassing and you say, stop doing this, and they... there's a possibility that people act in an inappropriate way that they think is okay. If you correct their behavior and say, this makes me uncomfortable, then they stop because they thought it was okay, but it's not okay, and now they know. If it's not okay, then why do you... I guess it's easier said than done. Like, why would you suffer that? Why would you just not go straight to, I'm pulling out of this project, or...
Yeah, that's tough, because if you've already signed the contract, then you're locked in, and you're already shooting. And this is a tricky situation, too, because it's not just like a typical office HR where, you know, if you're walking up to somebody and saying certain things to somebody in your office, it's like, whoa, that's too far. They're in a love movie. Like, they're always supposed to be acting and have chemistry, and you got to create all this stuff. That doesn't mean that there's not lines that somebody might have crossed.
Yeah.
But it's just a different situation.
Yeah, not something that normal existence really balances.
Yeah.
And what's your initial, like, what is your vibe towards Baldoni, Lively, and Ryan Reynolds individually?
I mean, Ryan Reynolds is very likable, so... I have no opinion of Blake Lively because I've never watched any of the CW stuff she was originally on or any of her... I don't think I've seen any of her movies.
Was she Gossip Girl?
Yeah,
she was big
I think
in?
So.
I've
and this Justin Baldoni, this is the first time I even heard his name.
Yeah,
so
me too.
I don't know who he is.
I may be in the minority, but I don't think Reynolds is likable at all.
Really?
I think he's kind of gross.
What?
I mean, he's a little cocky, but I still think he's funny.
He's cocky is a good way to put it. I think he's talented from like what he does professionally, but I am very unimpressed. Like, I would put Ryan Reynolds and Chris Pratt against each other as the people who they are and think that they are very different people.
Like, Baldoni's not the only one that has said something like this. TJ, I can't think of his name. He was one
Heath?
Of the... He's a stand-up comedian. He was one of the main characters in the Deadpool movie, but he came out and he said, I'll never work with him again.
Really?
With Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was something about the way he was treated, and he's like, he's not who he portrays himself
That's
to be.
That's my spidey sense, but it's just a spidey sense. I could be completely wrong.
Well, I'll work with him in the future, but we'll see. We'll okay. see.
On your you next know. Annie Fry show?
Yeah.
Part two.
On Annie Fry show 2026.
Ethan, you want to set up the poll for us here real quick?
Today's YouTube live chat poll, do you support eliminating the Department of Education? The options being yes, no, or not sure, but I trust Trump.
I am a not sure, but I trust Trump.
Well, I'm a yes. Like, big time yes.
I'm actually a not sure, but I trust Trump, too, because there are questions I have that I'm assuming he's already answered about doing this.
Yeah, I lean the same way. I don't have enough knowledge or information to be able to just outright say yes, but Trump is hitting pretty consistently right now, so it's hard to not roll with him.
Yeah. You want to get the results?
375 votes Woo! On today's YouTube live chat poll. Once again, do you support eliminating the Department of Education? Not sure, but I trust Trump gets 13% of the vote. 19% of people say no, and the remaining 68% say yes.
That's pretty awesome. All right, well, thank you for voting today. Thank you for listening. The podcast available at anniefryshow.com/podcast or on the Odyssey app. If you're streaming right now, you can keep it right here because the Mark Rudin Show is coming up next. I'm not-